This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
Hi, I'm Betty.
Today, the notorious Betty Page hits select theaters. The film stars Gretchen Mol and tells the story of the premier pinup model in the 1950s, Betty Page. She was known for her big smile and carefree nature. When Page met photographers Irving and Paula Klaw, her portfolio and her reputation changed dramatically. She became notorious for taking pictures in the nude as well as for bondage and other fetish poses. Actress Lily Taylor plays the persuasive Paula Klaw.
You see, the customers who want this stuff, they're very respectable, very high-quality people. So what if they want something that seems a little strange, right? If it makes them happy, sure.
The film's writer and director, Mary Harron, spoke with my colleague, Alex Chadwick.
Who was Betty Page?
Betty Page was a young girl from Nashville, from a rural Christian family, who ended up as one of the most famous pinups of her era, and some people say the most photographed pinup of all time. And in the process of her pinup modeling, she started to do bondage photographs, which was just part of her work. And it was through a brother and sister called Irving and Paula Klaw, and the bondage photographs got her in a lot of trouble with a Senate committee into pornography.
And you show this development in the film. There's kind of a beginning in a guy asks her to pose for some pictures, and then she meets the Klaws, and then they actually have a business of selling photographs to people who can order specific things. I want these kinds of boots. I want these shoes. Shoe fetishes seem to be huge. And pretty soon, she is the bondage model.
Yes, and she was one of the things that makes her such a successful bondage model was that I don't think she really understood the nature of those photographs, because bondage scenarios are kind of dark, and her attitude in these photographs is totally light and sunny. And, you know, she's holding a whip like it's a plate of cookies, which now makes her photographs very kind of paradoxical and almost comic.
She goes on one of her early assignments to a suburban house, and she's been hired to be a model for a camera club. And you open the door and you go in this house, and it looks like 50 guys in there with their little brownie cameras and things, and they're all with bottles. Oh, do this, do that. But she feels okay in that.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's a mysterious thing that she was so relaxed in front of the camera, and she was so relaxed in these bondage photos where she's dressed up in black leather and high-heeled boots. She's just so sunny, and she's like Betty Crocker. She's just so wholesome and good-natured. You know, for her, it was like a kid in front of the mirror, just like really like a childlike joy and just in her own world of play and dressing up. And she also loved, as I think great models have to, she loved the attention of the camera.
Hey, Betty, can you bend over for us a little bit, please?
You show us your keister?
What era is this? When she goes to New York, how old is she? And what is the year?
You know, mid-20s when she went to New York, I think. And this was an era when, right after World War II, when pinups and pinup magazines had become huge, you know, because of the soldiers reading them overseas, and because of these mass-market pinup magazines, with all names like Wink and Titter and Flirt. And they were kind of semi-respectable. You could buy them on newsstands, but people would keep them at home under the bed or hide them in the garage from their wives. But what I was most interested in was really sex in the 1950s, I think.
And what did you discover?
Well, you know, there's the sex that we know about or have always known about, which is the cheesecake, you know, the Marilyn Monroe, the Betty Grable, the sunny, you know, voluptuous pinup. But there was also a kind of hidden world of sex. And Betty Page's story is also part of that hidden world.
In terms of telling a story, making a movie, I'm not sure Betty Page's life is unhappy enough. It comes to an end in some way. There's a Senate hearing about pornography, and she eventually finds Jesus and renounces her life. But she doesn't fall into drugs. She's not beaten up by a gangster or dragged off to a brothel, or she seems to emerge from this as a fairly whole person.
I think she had a lot of, you know, hard times in middle age, but I think that her pinup career was something that she enjoyed. I think it was something she really made her very happy while it was going well. But I think there is this a certain feeling like, oh, well, you know, it must be like good girl, bad girl. You know, she must have some downfall. But in fact, Page's story doesn't fit any easy categorization. And, you know, yes, and even when she became born, she had her hard time with the Senate hearings and became born again. But then she never really renounced her pinup life. You know, as a Christian now, she looks back and says, I'm proud of my photographs.
Mary Harron, co-writer and director of The Notorious Betty Page, thank you.
Thank you.